Obamacare lives another day. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Last night, Senate leader Mitch McConnell scrapped plans to repeal and replace Obamacare after two more senators said they couldn't support the measure. Joining us from our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is here to talk about what's next for Obamacare. So, Dan, Senator McConnell has issued a statement. He's already got another plan in place. What is that plan?
Well, he's saying in the coming days, the Senate's going to vote on a straight-up repeal of Obamacare. McConnell says there'd be a two-year transition period to phase out the law. As he points out, this is something most senators already backed in 2015, but that was ultimately vetoed by President Obama. It's a little hard to think he's going to get 50 votes, if only because Republicans have just experienced how hard it is to come up with a replacement. And repealing Obamacare and replacing it with nothing, that's tough.
Several days ago, McConnell said if this bill fails, Republicans would have to work with Democrats to fix the law. Are there fixes Congress could actually pursue?
Can you actually imagine Republicans and Democrats working together on this bill? It'd be the first time, right? The thing is, though, right now, there are lots of insurers who are either dropping out of the Obamacare exchanges or they're asking for huge premium increases. And lots of health policy folks say Congress could approve billions of dollars in subsidies that help people with out-of-pocket costs. That money goes directly to the insurers. Another thing they could do is they could create a permanent reinsurance plan. This is something that helps insurers absorb expensive bills if they end up with lots of high-cost customers. Now that the bill's dead, Sabri, I think we're going to definitely start hearing from plenty of insurers about just what they want.
And finally, Dan, even if we don't see legislative action, the Trump administration can and will make changes to this law, can't they?
For sure. You know, when Obamacare was written, it gave the Secretary of Health and Human Services a ton of discretion to do what he or she saw fit. And so Secretary Tom Price inherits that. He's already made it clear he wants to give states lots more authority, for example, to control Medicaid programs. That could mean we'll see things like work requirements or other changes to Medicaid at the state level. The secretary also has got a lot of authority to push new ways to pay hospitals and doctors. So there's a lot Price can do to rework a law that he's made clear he really doesn't like.
All right, Dan, thanks. We're seeing a ripple effect from the failure of healthcare reform in currency markets. The dollar is down this morning compared to a decade and a half peak that it reached last January. It's at this point down 9%. With more on that, we have David Lebowitz. He's global market strategist with J.P. Morgan Asset Management.
What we're seeing is that a lot of the expectations that were set earlier this year in terms of healthcare reform, fiscal stimulus, so on and so forth, are just having a tougher time making their way through the system. And as a result, you're seeing a lot of those strong gains in the dollar that were observed around the time of the election and over those first couple of months pull back here a little bit.
You know, but it's not just, you know, currency traders reacting to healthcare failure. It's you've actually been thinking about how the Fed might react to this as well. Can you walk us through your thoughts?
I think what might be going on here is with the difficulty we've seen with the Republicans being able to get healthcare reform through, that brings into question whether or not they may be able to get some of these more pro-growth measures passed over the next 12 to 18 months. And what we're seeing is that expectations around growth are coming down, and subsequently expectations around the Fed and the Fed funds rate are also coming down. So with a fly pattern of lower interest rates here in the U.S. or interest rates that perhaps are not as high as what the Fed was expecting, we're seeing a little bit of cooling in the dollar here.
All right. David Lebowitz, global market strategist with J.P. Morgan Asset Management. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Remember MOOCs, massive open online courses, college on the internet? They were going to transform higher education as we know it. Spoiler alert, they didn't. But MOOCs are alive and well, even growing. And today, one big provider, Coursera, is announcing it'll partner with insurance company AXA to offer free courses to AXA's nearly 150,000 employee workforce around the world. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Coursera launched 5 years ago to provide free online courses from the likes of Stanford, Princeton, and the University of Michigan. Today, it partners with 150 universities, but the company has yet to make a profit.
We're still aggressively in the growth and investment phase of the business life cycle.
Coursera's new CEO, Jeff Maggioncalda, says one strategy is to charge businesses like AXA that want to offer their employees additional skills training.
The idea was to take this kind of learning, move it into the workplace, and then tailoring that learning around what the companies need.
Workplace training is a crowded field, says Richard Garrett with the research firm EduVentures.
It's everything from professional associations offering various credentials that help you advance to small specialized firms.
It's also easier to sell such services in a strong labor market when employers are competing for talent. When times get tough, Garrett says, the programs often go by the wayside. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
It seems the rest of the world has discovered Netflix. After reporting dazzling growth in the second quarter, the company says there are now more international subscribers than U.S. subscribers for the first time. Netflix stock is up 9.5% in early trading. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.